listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Pharmacy Success Strategy Series, a podcast dedicated to exploring success, customer service, and team development in independent pharmacy. I'm your host, Patty Mara, author of the book Up Solutions, Turning Teams into Heroes and Customers into Raving Fans. Each episode will cover one chapter from Up Solutions while featuring an in-depth conversation with a leading pharmacy owner, sharing their wisdom, challenges, and insights, all gained while positioning for growth and success in challenging market conditions. Welcome back to episode 4, where we're covering chapter 4 of the Up Solutions book, Turning Your Team into Heroes and Your Customers into Raving Fans. Chapter 4 is the heart of the book. Chapter 4 is the Up Solution recipe. It's how to put it in practice. 4 easy to follow steps that your team can always be focused on. Who are your patients? What's important to them? And make recommendations that they're excited to make and that the patient want to hear. And my guest on this episode is Chris Cornelison. So Chris owned a number of pharmacies. I think your main one, Chris, was in Iuka, Mississippi.
That's right.
And you've since sold them because you've launched a supplement line. And we're going to talk about that in this episode, because not only has he offered supplements, but they're solutions. And so it's all tied in together and we'll discuss it. But Chris coined the term Up Solutions. It's his brilliance. And he gave me permission to use it so graciously for the title of this book, because we are aligned in the focus on what does the patient need and how do we create incredible value for patients, and they may not even know how to ask about it. So Chris, welcome to the Pharmacy Success Strategies podcast. And what did I miss? What do people need to know about you before we dive in?
Oh, wow. No pressure there. No, you said it great. Maybe the only thing you miss is how much I think of you and what you've done for pharmacy owners. And we've worked together in different formats, and I'm just excited to do this with you again today. Yeah, let's do it.
Sounds great. So the core of chapter 4 is this Up Solution recipe, and it's a 4-step recipe. So let's dive in. Let's do step by step and then pull it together.
Yep.
And just talk about, you know, what you see as the core of what we're talking about, Chris,
for
and
sure.
How have you applied it?
You know, in your recipe, yeah, I love it, by the way. You know, to me, the first 2 steps are about awareness. And when I would train my team, I was like, you know, and it's awareness of the patient first, the product second. Even when we're talking about my product, it is the patient first and the product second. And, you know, in my career early on, I didn't want to sell things either, but I sure did care about that patient. And so one of the mindset shifts in my pharmacy team was I had to start training my team from the patient concept too. And you know, in the pharmacy world, we get too busy filling the prescription. And I'd say, well, you know, what do you know at the end of the prescription? An NDC, a doctor's name, all that's great. And it's important. That has nothing to do with the patient. So if we're truly going to start solving patient problems, we have to look at this patient is a diabetic. This patient's taking an antibiotic. What's going on with this patient? And we have to notice that. I know in your book, you talk about some retail settings where they see it on the aisle. But in the pharmacy, man, we've already got their data right there. And we just have to start being aware of what that data says to us.
Yes, yeah, spot on. And I want to emphasize, and this is our first gold nugget of the episode, patient first, product second.
100% of the time.
Yep. So Chris, have you ever had the experience that your team kind of pushed back when you said, I want you to talk about probiotics? I want you, you know, talk to probiotics. We want to sell, you know, 10 probiotics this week. You know, what's the first initial response back from your team?
Yes, I laugh out loud because it was not the easiest journey. You know, change is good. You go first. I can't remember it's that. But, you know, when you challenge your team, the first thing they hear is I got to sell something. No matter how you put a bow around it, no matter how you talk about it, the first thing they truly hear is sell. So you have to lead the way. You have to talk about the patient. You have to talk about what problems it solves. You have to train them on the reasoning behind the products. That's why I never was good at selling anything that wasn't high quality or I didn't really believe in. You have to get your team on board with the right things. But if you're going to shift their mindset, you have to start talking about the patient. And the way I would do it was I would ask a lot of what if we don't do this questions. So I'd say, you know, like the antibiotic probiotic thing, everybody knows that, and antibiotics kill off the bacteria in the stomach, can cause side effects. Well, I'd say, well, what if we don't tell that mom that she might get a yeast infection? And then she comes back 4 or 5 days later and does, and we didn't mention it. They don't want that information after. They want to know right now. Truly, when I think about up-solutioning and solving patients' problems, I always want the ball to be in their court. And the only way the ball can be in their court is we educate them. And I know I don't want to get ahead of the chapter, but it, you know, the education process is where it's at. Way, way too often, the mistake we make as entrepreneurs and or as pharmacists is we think the patient knows everything we do because the side effects are simple to us. The fact we can flavor medication is simple to us. It's not necessarily known by the patient. And so I used to tell my pharmacy team, you know, we're going to educate, we're going to train people, and then we don't care if they make a purchase right then. If it's not the solution for them, it's not the solution for them, and that's okay.
And if the team doesn't educate the patient on that solution, for me, that's the only way they can rip them off. I like to say that your patients don't even know the questions to ask to make an effective decision.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. It's the biggest hurdle sometimes, I think. And I challenge pharmacists all the time. It's like, you know, count to 30, getting in the bottle, getting it correct. It's all great. But is that practicing? You know, are we really practicing patient care there? You know, there's a lot of patient care that we know that we just got to get out there. And that gets into your next thing is training the team. I'm not going to touch every prescription if I'm in the pharmacy. I'm not going to talk to every patient. So it can't be how good is Chris Nielsen. It's got to be how good can my team be trained. If I have a great interaction with a patient, one of the first things I would do is come back and tell my team, hey, this is what happened. Or, hey, I said this patient, it just didn't land. I didn't do a very good job here. And we talk about those things in huddles. You know, you call it applied wisdom through observation. I love that in the next days. You know, but you have to train your team about the product and about the patient. So they can't apply wisdom that your team doesn't have. So we have to apply that wisdom to our team, and then our team has to apply it to our patient.
Absolutely, Chris. And it's, you know, the idea is that anyone who's worked on your team in your company for 3 months or more, they're always an expert compared to your customers, right?
Oh,
your
patients. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. And then you nailed something, another gold nugget, Chris, which is how are you equipping your team so they can take what they're seeing to the next level and feel like every single day they get to make an impact?
Definitely.
Step number one in the recipe is applied wisdom through observation. Mm-hmm. That is as simple as you already said some of the great questions. What do you know about this patient when they walk in? What do you know about this patient based on the medications they're on? What are things you could recommend they don't even know about? Definitely. So it could be something as simple as it's a mother with a young child and she might be frazzled because the child is sick. That is applied wisdom through observation. What do you know about this person just because they've come into your pharmacy or they've left a prescription for pickup?
Yeah, we in our industry are truly blessed with opportunity. Everybody that walks into the door of the pharmacy has an existing problem and it's identifiable for us almost all the time. Where we really, I feel like in our industry, miss the boat a little bit is we just fix the initial problem and we forget all the other problems that are open. Like for the diabetic patient, you know, obviously we've got a product that we think would offset side effects, but you have your diabetic shoes, you have your strips and lancets. Sometimes those things are covered and the patients don't know it. The newest thing is the continuous blood glucose monitors. Well, having the expertise to tell the patient how to use that correctly is a game changer. And all of those things are what up-solutioning is about. It's about being an expert and knowing the whys and the hows and really having a great customer experience with them. And that's when people start coming to your pharmacy and looking at you as the expert. And those are the things that the patients do not know. They don't know these options are out there. And if we don't educate them on it, how are they going to find out?
Yes. And that's step two. So step two is you've seen things about the patient. So you, what do you know about them already? And step two is asking probing questions to pull out what their need is. And often I find people get caught up in the term probing questions. Probing questions are just asking questions for information. That's it. It's more than a yes, no response. You're asking for what information. And for me, the guide is, what do you know they need to consider in order to make an effective decision?
I like to call them icebreakers.
Yes, love it.
When I'm training my team, I usually got an initial icebreaker to every product. A lot of times for multivitamins, it's simply, do you take a multivitamin?
Yep.
And you usually don't want to go for yes and no's in probing questions. But the reason I do that is because we're going to get a yes or no. And my team was trained on what to do next.
Yes.
And, you know, in the case of drug nutrient depletion, you know, the next step is, well, you're taking this medication and it can cause these problems, both short and long term. And they're just educated on that so that they can, you know, tell the patient about it. This is the suggestion we're making, and these are the reasons why. You have to have awareness of the patient, and you still do have to have awareness of your product. You have to know what problems you can solve with the repertoire solutions that are available to you. And then you educate the patient on it by asking the probing question. And we were talking about the clerk a while ago. I can't tell you how many clerks I've had in my store. My pharmacy team would get busy. The conversation's pretty easy about the probiotic or sometimes a drug nutrient depletion product, and they do actually have that question, and they still come back if they need professional help from the pharmacy. But I always ask the teams this: is it better for the pharmacist, for the patient, not to get served, or to get served through the pharmacist instead of always by the pharmacist? Because we don't have enough time to touch them all, but we do have enough time to train our team to touch them all.
Okay, another gold nugget. I want to emphasize that. As a pharmacist, you don't have time to touch all your patients, but you do have time to train your team to touch them all because they already are. Mm-hmm. It's a leverage point. We're going to talk about, I would like to go through the four steps, Chris, and then talk about, because you have a really unique methodology of training your team, of having your setting them up to win. Mm-hmm. And I want to touch about, I want to go through the four steps and then come back to that. Is there anything more about asking effective questions?
You definitely get better at it as you practice it. One thing I used to do is, if I'm having the patient consultation, I knew I wanted to train somebody on the team. So every good interaction, I would think immediately after what happened, and I would tell my team, if there was any time, I'd say, hey, this is the question I asked. This is how I got. And I always talk about Aunt Jane. I'm from Mississippi. Most of you know, this is what I asked Aunt Jane. And guess what she told me? And I, sometimes I'll tell the team, you know, Aunt Jane said her legs were cramping. And I'll say, when she told me that, what would you say? I don't tell them exactly what I said sometimes, but what would you say? And sometimes they give me a great answer. Sometimes it's something that I didn't think of. And I said, well, hey, this is what I said. You know, I asked her, you know, what, is it night? Is it day? What medicines are you on? Whatever it was for me. But really sharing with my team when I had success always helped train the team. It always helped train me. It helped me reinforce. And really, I think in pharmacy, too, we miss it at the management level. When you're a manager, your job is to train the team. You are the coach. So when somebody has success, we have to share that success with the team. So often the managers get busy and they want to have all the conversations or whatever, and they're not training the team. So every opportunity that nobody talks to the customer, that's a missed opportunity.
Yes, very good. And it's usually your frontline people, the cashiers, yes, and delivery drivers, that are having those conversations.
I used to tell my front-end people, you are our most important listeners. Because the patient's going to talk to you.
Good. And some of that is training them what to listen for and then how to share it. Because
sure,
again, we tend to take, you know, conversations like that for granted. And yet it's the most valuable information, because our customers are always talking to us. Are we hearing the message, not just the words?
Yep, for sure. For sure.
All right. So step one is observation. Step two is probing questions, pulling out that need, what might be some of the challenges. And then step three is providing a custom op solution. What is the solution based on that patient and their needs that you make a recommendation, and why?
Yeah, this is really what we think separates our company from everybody else. We don't have a single product in our line that we don't think the process through in pharmacy workflow. So every product we have, we want to be training the pharmacies out there individually on how to talk to the customer, how to listen for the right things. And we want to be offering probing questions, offering different times to talk to them. For example, drug nutrient depletion. Say you got a diabetic, high blood pressure, cholesterol. They walk in, the minute we see the prescription, we know. If you have any awareness at all, you know you're working on an opportunity for drug nutrient depletion. Now, we want to educate them, all right, right then, and my team's ready. My team does, you know, teams do know the product, and we educate you. I always say product and process, product and process. So we educate you on our product, what we think our process should be, so that you can quickly in workflow ask the question. Now, we also train teams not to ask but once a year on this type of thing. Okay, because you educate them, and if you educate them and it's not pushy, you'd be shocked how year two or year three, or they read an article or they see something on the internet, and then they connect that back to you because you're still the expert. You're still the one that's communicating with them. And I used to tell my team, looking back, I don't know if this was the best way to train them, but I also used to tell them, I don't care if you make sales. Now, I did care that they make some sales, because we're not making any sales. The pitch is probably bad. We're probably not listening and having great communications. But really, I didn't. I wanted them to be comfortable with being told no, and no's not the end of the world, and to embrace no and still give the education, because, you know, after that leads into step four, which you'll get into, which builds a relationship. So three and four, to me, one and two are all about awareness. You know, you have to know your product, you have to know your customer, you have to train your team. Three and four, it's all about relationship. You know, did it seem like a sales pitch from you, or did you truly ask probing questions? Were you listening to what the customer told you? You know, simple question, do you take a multivitamin? You know, when they say yes, that's when we make most sales. The reason is because the next thing out of your mouth should be which one. And usually most people don't know why they take their multivitamin. So when you switch it around and we've educated your team on why ours is better, usually I tell the patient, you know, educate them about it. You know, you need one with more CoQ10, or you need one with more B12, depending on what the patient was. And I was like, so why don't you finish that one off and consider giving this one a try? I think you'll get better results, and I know you'll long-term be healthier. Something I've learned over the past few years is the promise to the patient's the one that lands on their ears. So I used to steer away from feeling better right then, because I was so high integrity that I was like, you know, I know we're going to make you feel better, but I was thinking side effects. Well, side effects wasn't necessarily what the patient wanted to hear on the ear. They do want to hear, I want to feel better. So now we're redoing in our videos right now, we're talking more about, you know, this will help you feel better because. And so when you give them their promise, then you tell them why. And those are the true things you have to do to set the patient up to make a good decision. Without this knowledge, they have no way of making a good decision. And the last thing I wanted to do in pharmacy was practice for 20 or 30 years and have somebody have long-term side effect problems, and I never talked to them about drug nutrient depletion. It's too late 20 years down the road if they're having some heart issues because they've been depleted by CoQ10 for 20 years. It's too late if they're having Parkinson's tremors from some of the depletions you can have. You know, and that's not, you can't practice good pharmacy then. You missed the opportunity 20 years ago.
This is what defines community pharmacy. These,
amen.
You know, they're pharmacists mostly that are passionate about the community. People choose to work in a community pharmacy.
Yes.
Everyone is patient outcomes, well, living well. You know, if you just want a prescription filled, you can go to a kiosk or Walmart, mm-hmm. you know, because it's a number, you're a transaction and no one's helping you.
Yep.
If you want the best outcomes in living your best life, that's community pharmacy. And the people in it are passionate about their patients.
And, you know, I read your book. It's the third time I've read it, just for the record. I feel like I lived it once and read it three times. But, you know, I love in chapter four, love of love, chapter four, when you talk about how important it is for your team to feel pride. It, how important it is for your job to mean more than just a transaction. And so as a manager and as a leader of the company, when we're training on up solutions and they have a positive one, you don't say, hey, you know, you're glad they made a sale, but it's not about making the sale. It's about, hey, you making a difference. Mm-hmm. You know, Aunt Jane's taking the right multivitamin now because you trained her, and now her long-term health is going to go up. Even sometimes when the patient doesn't realize it to that level. And sometimes, you know, Dr. Fred Sencilio, who works with us, he's got a great saying. He says, you know, the title of his book, Prevention is the Cure. That's how I think we practice pharmacy. We practice to prevent things, and we have to remind our own team, you know, you prevented, you improved their quality of life. You made them feel better, even when they don't know it sometimes. So you have to be the one to enforce that praise and that pride after the customer's gone. It's great when the customer comes in and praises you. I mean, that definitely makes you feel good. But as the leader and the manager of the team, you know, my mantra is praise what you want repeated.
So yes. Gold nugget. Gold nugget.
Say it. Yeah, that's my favorite one.
Say it again, because that's bing, bing, bing.
Yeah, this is in my super culture keynote. You praise what you won't repeat it. Just, and you quote me there, like, I've even got praise coins, and that's what they say on them, you know, praise what you won't repeat it. So when you're managing something and somebody asks a probing question and they hear what the patient says and then the patient doesn't make the purchase, you praise that. You tell them, great job. Now they know where to get it. Sleep. A lot of times we talk to somebody about sleep. If they're not having sleeping trouble, they probably don't take the solution, and they shouldn't. But when they have trouble sleeping down the road and you educate them on some of the possibilities, they're going to come back to you. You know, it's just constant education and solving problems. And truly, if you don't equip your own customers with the solutions you have, they have no idea. They have no idea.
Yes, they don't automatically know why to choose you or what you can do for them unless you're telling them.
I'll give you we all fell our way forward, right? So I'll tell you something that happened early on in my career as a young business owner when I had no clue what I was doing. I had a competitor come in and he offered free diabetic meters and strips. Well, at the time, everybody was doing it. I'd been doing that for 4 or 5 years, but I wouldn't tell anybody. So I had somebody come in and literally make a big marketing campaign. And I was like, well, you know, and that was the first eye-opening moment. I was like, well, I've been doing that for 5 years, but I wouldn't tell anybody. So how did my customers know?
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. I worked with a pharmacy that did a customer survey, and the number one requested service that the customers asked for was delivery. And the reason it's funny is because they offered delivery, but nobody
knew. I knew where you were going with that one. Yeah.
That's right. So they wrapped their cars, and then their cars became billboards out in the community advertising their pharmacy, and people knew about delivery.
Yep.
I think if all of us could look in our pharmacy, there are a number of different things you and your team offer that I guarantee you you're not talking about. And so patients don't know about it.
And I know that we are busy. I've been a pharmacist my whole career. I know that we are busy, but I think there's different levels of probing questions too. And really and truthfully, there are very few frontline probing questions that your customer service clerks and hospitality people can't ask. And I trained my team how to ask questions, and I trained my team where the conversation was professional enough, they needed to come get the pharmacist. You know, my team was well trained. You don't have permission to talk about drug interactions. You don't have permission to make recommendations. Now, my team was so well trained, I can't tell you how many times somebody would come back and say, hey, Chris, so-and-so's talking to me about this. I think they need X. And I'm like, that's exactly what they need. And sometimes I would say, yes, that's exactly right. Go tell them that. Sometimes I needed to step in the conversation. But when you train your team, you get more time because they get better.
Yes. So let's talk about that.
Yeah,
so
sure.
One of the pieces we talked about, the recipe is observation, probing questions, providing the solution and why, and then ongoing relationship developed. Actually, one thing I want to point out, because you said this, Chris, and I think it's really important. It's not about the sale that happens that day. It's all about the education. There are some people that may need to think about it before they're ready, or they may need to hear it three times before they're interested. So it really is about the education component, because that's what's unique.
Yeah, because in your chapter 4, you also talk about the importance of the repeat sales. And the only way to get repeat sales is for them to have what we call buyer's confidence. You know, if they have buyer's remorse, they're not going to make it. So if they leave there and they don't know why I've got this product in my hand, it could be a SolutionsRx product. If I don't know why I took this multivitamin over the others, it doesn't matter. But when I walk out there and say, wow, This one's pharmacist formulated, and it's got a formula that is based off the prescription medications I take and what they pull out. So I've got a more specific multivitamin. The likelihood of me taking that is much, much higher. And the other thing, you know, most of your pharmacies have sync programs. And too often we don't sync that product. You know, we're talking over-the-counter things that are anywhere from 40 to 100% margin. Very rarely less than that. And there are very few things in the pharmacy that are that high. And a lot of people are like, well, it's not as many dollars. Well, if you just took a random number, if you took a $15 markup. So let's say you made a $15 gross profit and 1,000 bottles, that's $15,000 of gross product a month that doesn't have a DIR, that doesn't have an audit thing. It's just good customer care. The trick is finding what are valuable solutions to your patients. And time is an issue. You can't train your team on 100 different solutions. You've got to pick a few lines and a few things you're confident in, and you've got to go with those things. And you train your team how to have those conversations every time. In the awareness, and I don't mean to be going backwards, but you have to find the ideal customer. And I always say the ideal customer is two things. They have a problem that we can solve, and it's actually profitable. Because if we don't stay profitable, we're not going to be solving long-term problems. And actually, your customer usually does want you to be a profitable business. They want you to stick around.
They don't want to be gouged, but they want you to be successful.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about that. Because you had, when you owned the pharmacies, you had a really unique way of engaging your team on how to train and talk about this. So I want to start with, you already said this, it's not with 100 things, it's one at a time. Because yes, your team can't learn, they're already busy, mm-hmm. they can't learn 10 new or even 5 new products in a short period of time. So talk about, what was your process for having your team, you know, be educated to have those conversations?
Right. So I'm a big fan of having a team huddle in the morning. I know a lot of pharmacists say, we can't have a team huddle. We had one for over 20 years. We filled 300 to 500 prescriptions a day for over 20 years. I had all the problems you got, technicians calling in sick, all those problems, we had them. We had it every year, every day, for over 20 years in 3 different pharmacies, and we bought others, so you could consider it 5. So you can do it. You don't have to do it that way. You can train your team anyway. But what we did was, I would like to have some fun with it, and I would tell my team, hey, the day before, I would get the product out that we were going to talk about, sales prescriptions for it. I tell them all the things I know about it. I'd give them the bag stuffers. I'd have them watch the SolutionsRx videos. And yes, I had my team watch SolutionsRx videos. And they would do that. And I'd say, tomorrow morning in huddle, we're going to ask everybody what they know about this product. We're going to play for high fives. Usually it's just for high fives. And huddle is only 2 minutes long, so we don't have forever. So I need you to participate. And everybody's going to participate tomorrow, so nobody's getting off. And we're going to sit there. So it's not an aha, I got you. It's a pop quiz. It's no, tomorrow morning we're going to do this. And I want to be able to give you high fives. So I'm setting them up for success. And so what we do in huddles, I'd set like a 60-second clock. And I'd say, tell me what you know about this product. And if it's prescription support, it's got high quality CoQ10, high five. It's got enzymes for absorption, high five. We've got a bag stuffer out there, high five. We watched a video on it yesterday, high five. You know, and it's just on and on and on. It's like methylated B vitamins, pharmaceutical grade. It solves diarrhea for diabetics, solves aches for cholesterol. It just goes. And it's just bam, bam, bam. I'm constantly giving high fives. And by the end of that minute, everybody had to think about something they were going to do. They knew it was coming. It's the way we train for products all the time. So they know I was serious about it when we were going to do it. It didn't matter what the product was. So they know it's coming. And then by the time it's over and you get the positive praise and the high fives and that secretes the dopamine, you've had a pretty good start to your day. And 60 seconds, that's a 60 seconds spent, in my opinion.
Right. And then what did that do for the team's confidence in having, you know, creating an icebreaker, knowing how to engage with patients and have those conversations?
Oh, 100% of the time it made it better, because, you know, it's a lot easier to jump in the ocean when you jump with the team, right? Right. And when people are going, you know, it lets the whole team, you know, you're serious about it. It lets you hear what other people had as suggestions. And in day two, a lot of times I don't talk about day two of the training, but day two, how did we do yesterday? Somebody share, and I would tell them before huddle the next day, hey, like say, Patty, say you had a great conversation and got turned down. Hey, that was a great conversation. I want you to keep doing that. So I'm going to praise you for that. And then tomorrow I want you to tell them how you had that conversation. Now, I'm obviously looking for somebody that created a sale. So I might have both of them and say, hey, you know, in 10 seconds, just tell them what you told AJ yesterday. tell them what you told Uncle Billy yesterday. You know, tell them how that conversation went. How did you get the sale? How did you not? You know, and even though maybe in this instance, Patty didn't get the sale, her conversation was perfect. So we've educated that patient. So that's great. And say somebody made a sale. By all means, that's two thumbs up because we want to solve problems. We want to believe in our products enough to know that they're going to do good for patients. But it's day one, you train them. You give them, how about day two? What kind of successes did you have? Day three, day four, day five, and that first 30, 60, 90 day commitment to a new product. And then the coolest thing, every quarter you can bring on more new products. And your team, they won't forget, you know, it becomes a habit in their DNA.
Yes, you've reinforced it, and you reinforce it long enough that it becomes background and they can engage with something new.
Yep, for sure.
How long would your morning huddles go for generally?
2 minutes or less. I always tell people it's not a team meeting, it's a huddle. If you're at the football game and the play clock kept going dead, you know, get delay game penalties. It's a huddle. So, and the training portion, 60 seconds. 60 seconds.
Love it. 2 minute huddles.
Yeah, yeah, 2 minutes. And I always tell my people, if you go over 2 minutes, you probably messed it up. We probably don't have 15 minutes for the whole thing. And that's the key to doing it every day. You know, I hear people say, I do a longer huddle, but I do it once a week. It teach their own. For me, what worked was having that day in, day out. And I knew I could get my team together for 2 minutes.
Yeah, fantastic. And as you said, figure out what works for you. And that was the best for, you know, your IUCA drugs.
Yes.
That was it.
Yep.
And it's important to have those conversations. I also love, Chris, you really talked about the two-way conversations, right? You're sharing information, you're having them talk about what they learned and how it's applied, and then you're having them share the conversations they had. What are they learning from each other?
Yes.
It's a full circle that you have to create, not just information out.
Yep. For sure.
So I also loved, you've said this a couple of times, you turned up solutions into a verb.
Oh, yeah. You
talk about up solutioning.
Yes. So, you know, to me, anything you write down gives you verbiage. And so that's the reason I came up with the phrase, because I knew this is the way we wanted to treat patients. We wanted to be solving problems, not selling things. So that's the reason that we coined the term way back in the day. I didn't know it would explode, didn't know I would be using it this way, didn't know you'd write a book about it. It was just a way to have verbiage. And I think it's important to have verbiage with your team because you have new team members coming on. And I think you said earlier, every new team member should start at a higher point. Or that may have been what we were talking about before we jumped on. but you know, every new team member should be able to walk on and see what the team's doing. They should hear the lingo. If it's on my position agreements, customer service, pharmacist, and technician, it would say, you know, you had to be good at up solutioning or master up solutioning, I think is what it says. We've got another one we call the four C's. And so every product that comes in, we're going to get command, confidence, compassion, and consistency on the product. So we have to know the product, and then we're going to up solution it every time we can identify the problem. So that's the way we look at it. And when you can talk to your team about that, and honestly, a new employee, the first thing when they hear up solution, what's that? Oh, I got to learn that. And when you show them and you give them a high five over it, and then they go and ask somebody, you know, hey, Aunt Jane, would you like to get a probiotic with this side effects of this antibiotic or diarrhea? You know, this could offset it. Gets turned down. You go, hey, you did it. You educated Aunt Jane. She didn't even make a purchase, but you did it. Now, if Aunt Jane goes home and has diarrhea, she's coming back. But if you didn't do that, she goes home and not has diarrhea, she's suffering. And if she starts hearing about a pharmacy that does have that conversation, Aunt Jane's switching to that pharmacy because they're taking better care of her.
Absolutely. And Chris, did your team like having these conversations with patients?
Did they like, yes, the ones that were great rock stars and Eagles me, they did enjoy it because they didn't know that was the difference. I can't say that the team's always excited when you bring something new on because having that first conversation is scary. The first six conversations I had when I launched my product line, I got told no. And I thought, I've got all these bottles of this thing. I can't even sleep. But then after that, I had like several in a row say yes. And, you know, anytime you start something new, you're not going to have the verbiage exactly right. You're not going to know every question, and you should get better at it. We are re-recording our training videos as we speak because we've gotten better at the lingo. We've improved every bit of our process. We can't wait to re-release that. So it's constantly learning and getting better and how do I use this for new products or what new problems problems out there. You know, COVID's the best example of all time. There's a lot of problems that we had answers to that we didn't even know we had answers to in the pharmacy. And it presented an opportunity. The ones that were ready were ready. And the ones that weren't, weren't.
Absolutely. And, you know, to soften team learning new things for the first time is to have set them up to win, have those huddles, have them participate, and have them feel like they're part of a team. They're not doing it on their own.
Yeah, for sure.
And once they have a couple of, as you said, once you have a couple of yeses and people are excited and feel like I made that person's day, it just takes one patient coming back.
Oh, yeah.
Or the high five from the manager or the owner saying you did a great job with that patient. Yeah. To make a complete difference.
Yep, for sure, for sure.
I'm back into our job is to set our team up as heroes.
Yes,
and I love what you say that. Heroes, yeah. If they get to be heroes every day, I mean, who doesn't want to come to work?
Hey, you've got a line in the book, and I actually had it open. You can't say it better than this. You say on page 66, when up solutions perfectly suit the customer, your team members become problem solvers and feel like heroes. Your customers feel completely taken care of. And that's the win-win. You know, if you're truly solving problems, you don't have patients leaving thinking, I got sold something. It's a win-win. And the win is your team. I can tell you, The most prideful thing I did in the pharmacy was watch somebody I had trained to do something do it well. I think I'm really good at creating up solutions and making sales, and I could do it all day. But it's 10 times more rewarding for me to watch someone else do it than me do it myself, because I know that's going to have the ripple effect and the everlasting power.
Yes. Bingo. Bingo. So, Chris, one of the reasons I really wanted to have you, well, there was a couple reasons on this particular episode. First of all, you just live, eat, breathe up solutioning.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the basis of your Solutions Rx. Mm-hmm. And when I'm talking to pharmacy owners, I talk about your product all the time.
Thank you.
Obviously every pharmacy has supplements, and every pharmacy hopefully is having community pharmacy having nutrient depletion conversations. Mm-hmm. One of the things I really appreciate, I think this is your brilliance that you've turned into a product, is that you created a solution-based product, not a supplement-based product. Mm-hmm. So talk about what sets Solutions Rx apart.
Well, from the drug nutrient depletion side, what sets us apart is we made a multivitamin. So people are always quick to tell me, oh, my patients can't afford anything. Well, if you're selling one supplement at a time, you're getting pretty expensive. It gets hard to swallow. It gets hard to comply. If you're putting them in compliance packaging, it's taking up a lot of room. So we put that into a multivitamin to cover most of that. Now, we have spinoff products that you might add on from time to time, but everybody doesn't really need that. So we came up with a solution that's not taking seven things. It's taking one, and it's more specific to somebody taking prescription medications. The people that we sell to happen to have patients that are taking prescription medications. So literally about 6 in 10 people that walk in are opportunities. Now, I'll tell you something I've backed off on in my own knowledge going forward. We used to say, you know, don't miss anybody, ask everybody. We think you should. But we think if your average employee is able to ask about 10 a day, then they can get busy. And as long as you're charting that some way so that you're not letting Chris Cornelison fall through for a whole year, as long as you're only asking me once a year, so it's twofold. We only want you asking once a year. Don't badger them. And make sure you are getting everybody. We think that's a good, consistent way to not be overwhelmed. Now, certain things like probiotics, I think you've got to ask that every time. I think it's just bad healthcare if you don't ask that every time. And then there's other things throughout the year. We've got an Omega, and we've got ways we train you to ask for that now. We've got a sleep product. We train you when and how to ask, but it's not something you should do all the time. It's something that when it's right for the patient, you should know how to do it. And every once in a while, you should educate the patients because they only know what they know.
Yes. So I want to dive in because you said it, but I want to be really specific. So you've got a product. Mm-hmm. So if they're on a diabetic on diabetic medication, they take this multivitamin that's specifically designed for their disease state management and the medication that they're on.
That's right. That's right. Another thing that separates us is we've always got a process and a product. You know, we believe in up solutions so much, we would not put a product in your hand that we weren't going to tell you the process to get it out and how to up solution it. And then from all the great pharmacists we deal with, we get more solutions to our product, and we're constantly adding what you tell us from your feedback. So it's really cool.
Yeah, very good. I really think that's important because you know, talking about being a hero, if let's say you had a diabetic patient and they're taking six different supplements, well, it's probably $200 a month. Mm-hmm. And it's confusing, and they're probably not getting it in the right ratio that for their needs. Mm-hmm. And you solve that with one. So you literally simplify what you're offering. The patient can only get it from your pharmacy because it's only through independent pharmacies. Mm-hmm. And you take something that might save them money, save them time, create better. I mean, on so many levels, it's a win. Mm-hmm. Plus, make it easier for the team to talk about.
Oh, for sure. I tell you something that's been fun for us recently is we're having all these long-term care pharmacies, and they're going to their long-term care facility and saying, you know, we can put this vitamin in. It's got the same thing all these others have. So there's less inactive ingredients to stick those pills together, right? So their package has got less things in it. It's less things for their patient to swallow. It's just, it's a win for the patient in that case. It's a win for the nurse. It's a win for the home. It's more profitable most of the time because it's still got a good profit margin for the pharmacy. And everybody in a facility switches to our multi. That's happened a lot lately, and it's been really cool. And that came from a pharmacist telling us it was a big deal to not have as many pills in the package. And I was like, nah, I should have thought of that.
Yes, but again, it's getting that feedback and input.
Right, right.
And one other piece, because I think you also, and you were developing this, when you came up with the idea for Solutions Rx, you also took it to the nth degree for digestibility, bioavailability, including putting digestive enzymes in the packaging.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a huge fan of enzymes and how much they can help something be absorbed. We definitely want to use methylated products and good ingredients, and that helps too. But enzymes, you know, enzymes break, liquefy things for our body to digest it. And a lot of molecules are really big to the body and they're foreign to the body. And when you can put the enzymes in presence with them, your chance of driving that into the cells it needs to be into is exponentially higher. And also it keeps you from having the gunky side effects in the intestines, lowers the constipation. It just does a lot of good. And it just really takes the product to a whole nother level.
Fabulous. For me, Chris, when you first launched Solutions Rx, I just remember thinking, this is your brilliance in action, making it available to other pharmacies. So well done. Kudos. Because I think this is part of having a bigger and bigger impact in the world.
Yes, for sure. For sure. And thank you for what you do, man. You've taken up solutions and taught people all over the world what it was. It's cool.
Great. You know, love it. Partnership. It's partnership. Love collaborative partnership.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, Chris, any last words that you want to share?
No, it's an honor to be on here. I'm super excited when you asked me. And, we'd love to have you reach out. www.solutionsrx.com. Our 800 number is 844-563-0095. We don't have to be your only supplement line. We think we fit with other ones, and we think you should have other supplement lines than just us. So even if you've got a great line, see where we fit, because our processes actually will help sell other lines too a lot of times. So we think we're a good company just to stay in contact with.
I would agree with that. So certainly for all the independent pharmacies that are listening to this episode, do reach out to Chris, because I think it's not just the solution he's created with Solution Rx, but it's also his passionate commitment to the success of pharmacy and the success of your patients with your pharmacy. So thank you, Chris. That brings to a close this episode on Chapter 4, The Absolution Recipe. And as always, take this out to your team, and we wish you much success. Wait for us in our next episode, when we are going to carry this forward and get really practical information on hearing the message, not just the words. We're going to take customer communication to the next level.